Hello and welcome to All in Motion. I am your host, Jake Harrison. I want to thank all of you for tuning in this Thanksgiving holiday. We do appreciate it. This is episode 8, Being Disciplined. I had an honor to speak to a close friend, Brennan Inch, who's featured in this episode. He's a general manager and he discusses what it takes to be determined. Brennan also shares much of his personal experience, tips, and to help others learn how to be disciplined. We had to make it to a two-part interview. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is part
And
one.
welcome, Brennan Inch.
How's it going?
Good, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing better now.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long
How
time.
many years?
Eight.
No, it's gotta be longer than that because I left Bloomsburg
Ten.
at
Ten.
2012. I moved to Washington,
Almost
D.C.
10 years.
Okay, to that. So, thank you again for taking the time to speak to us.
More than happy.
More than happy. So, the title and the topic is being disciplined. So, do you mind sharing what that means to you and how you applied that throughout your life, and then what you expect out of others, if that makes sense?
So what being disciplined means to me, and I've heard this saying somewhere else, but it's doing something that you don't like to do over and over again to get whatever your expected result is. So I think we can all come to an agreement that most of the things that we want in life, whether it be money, fame, whatever it is you aspire to have or do, I believe takes immense it takes a lot of effort in doing things that you wouldn't normally do.
Speaking about discipline, and then you kind of answered it a little bit. How have you been able to apply that? It's difficult to do because it kind of coincides and aligns with being consistent. How have you been able to stay so disciplined throughout your life?
I think largely it was my mom and dad, and then playing football throughout my childhood and lifting weights. It started out as, my parents got divorced at a young age, and I seen both of them. I don't want to say they struggled financially, but I knew from a young age that money wasn't abundant, and I knew that if I wanted to get something, I had to do something to get that, whether it be a toy or my first car or my first house. Or anything, I was gonna have to get it. Like, I was gonna have to go get it. And I also learned that, and I said about playing football in high school, they taught me that if you wanna get big, you wanna get fast, you wanna get strong, you wanna hit hard, you need to earn that by running, lifting, and only holding yourself accountable for what the results are. So at the end of the day, if you want to be 200 pounds and you're only 175, how are you going to get there? Well, you're going to move weights and you're going to sprint. And if you want to be better, it's only on you. You can't blame it on somebody else if you didn't do something. And that was how my life was framed from a young age. Holding yourself accountable for what you have and what you don't have. And if you want to get somewhere, you got to get there yourself. And I just applied that principle throughout, my early 20s and 30s with work. Was if you want to have this truck or this business or this amount of income, what am I going to have to do to get there? And just do it, no matter how much you like it or not.
All right. Awesome. And I apologize to go back to the audience. If you're okay with sharing where you live, where you're from.
Yeah, I'm from South Central Pennsylvania, York, PA, and I was born and raised here. It's just a small little town. If you know someone with my last name, they're from here. Our family is a small unit, and really, like I said, if you hear the last name, it's us, it's me. Like, it's our family. So I was born and raised here, never left,
I got
other
really
than Bloomsburg.
So I got I, one of my the last episode, a good friend of mine, he grew up in a different area. He grew up in the South Bronx.
Great episode, by the way. Loved it.
Shout out to Juan.
Yeah, Juan. I wish I could meet all your guests.
Oh, we're gonna meet. I hope everything goes well. We're all gonna. Everybody in the first season, we're all gonna come together. Appreciate that. I wanted to. The reason why I bring Juan in the South Bronx up. You grew up in a very different area, and I know we did not discuss this, but I think it's really relevant and brings a lot of context. You grew up way different.
Totally different, but
since you listen to Juan's episode, thank you for listening. Can you kind of shed light to the audience perspective what you think the difference where Juan grew up compared to where you grew up in this part of Pennsylvania?
Yeah, so I think at the end of the day, everything kind of comes back to local economics and money. And here, it's more of a rural setting where the local economy is not insane. It's not booming like crazy. And if you're gonna work a job here, it's gonna be an hourly job. Making okay money. You're gonna be median income at best. And then where he was staying at, the challenges are more like socioeconomic, I feel like. And it's just there's a lot more. I mean, I don't know exactly what he went through. I know listening, I felt like there was a lot more tumultuous times there and just issues with the location. So here, there's really no issues with the location necessarily. It's just there's not a ton of opportunity. I feel like in New York, there's a lot of opportunity, but you have to work just as hard because there's so much competition. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. No, but
here there's less competition, but there's not that much opportunity. So that's why there's not as much competition.
Right. Yeah. The only thing I will say to Juan's interview though, and this is no comparison with anyone's story or situation. Everybody has their own unique story and how they were, the way they were brought up. But the reason why I ask is that he, and I'm sure you did. Everybody that came up had to deal with things differently. Mm-hmm. But it's just the question interests me just for the fact that different area, you all need a little, similar age and just, different backgrounds.
I think, and I said this to you, the reason why I'm so intrigued by what you're doing is that, and I told you, Juan's situation is totally different from mine, but he's a real person and I'm a real person. And I think real recognizes real. Right.
You know, it goes underneath our, have you seen the logo of this podcast?
Is that there?
Is it real people, real talk?
Yeah. No, and that's true. Like I felt so comfortable listening to what he said. And I think it's an amazing thing. It made me feel really good because I listened to him and I was like, you know what? After listening to that, I felt more normal. I was like, hey, I'm not the only one that had XYZ problem and still made it out of that.
That was deep. Okay. No, I'm going to get into it. No, I appreciate that. And thank you for the episode and thank you for your feedback and your compliments.
Heck yeah.
So we know now that you own and operated two businesses, correct?
Mm-hmm. Recently sold one. So now.
Now, do you mind? I know it's going to take as much time as you need because that's part of All Motion is that not only do we like to educate and spread awareness, I really like to go into how that shaped you, changed you.
All right, so to kind of understand my entire situation, you have to kind of go back to when I was 14. Started working for my family, mowing grass, and I worked for my great uncle and my cousin, and we mow HOAs and do lawn and landscape maintenance. And I did that until I did that in the summers, all through school, through football camps and everything. When I got out of college, I had a business degree, as you know, because we were in school together. Got out of college. I did a couple sales jobs because, what gets jammed down your throat is you gotta go get this degree and you gotta do things a certain way. You need to get your degree, you need to get in ground floor at a big, corporate firm, and then work your way up and, be this six-figure guy. But my cousins, they had a different plan. They're just hardworking guys that grind every single day. And I seen that, and I worked side by side with my cousin every day for 8 to 10 years. And then when I got out of college, I went and I looked for these jobs that I was told would be available with a degree, and was kind of disappointed, honestly. When I got out, I had a bachelor's degree. I had basically straight A's in college, and no one really seemed to care what I had done in school. But my cousins talked to me, and they said, hey, you know, we want you to come back and be a manager at our family landscape company. We had several very large maintenance accounts, and I knew all the accounts, and the people all knew me from being around. And they said, hey, why don't you come on? You know, we'll have you be an account manager. And I started building these relationships. And yeah, I ended up working for my cousins for 3 to 4 years. And then we wanted to start a fertilization company. So they actually, I guess because they seen how hard I was trying and everything I was doing, I grew the maintenance division by, you know, like a quarter million after 2 years. And they saw how hard I was working. They gifted me shares to our fertilization division because we give most of that work away. But so I own part of the fertilization company. And then 2 to 3 years after that, we purchased a pest control company, which kind of goes right in with our landscaping and the other companies that we were running at the time. And I invested heavily in that. And that was the last time you and I talked, that I owned the pest control, 30% of the pest control company and 10% of the fertilization company. The way discipline tied into that is that if I had come back from college, I could have easily failed at that job. But I spent every day and every night talking to customers, not 9 to 5, not a normal work day. I was on the phone or sending emails from 6:30 in the morning till 9:30 at night every single day for 2 years to build those relationships. And I mean, as a 22-year-old kid, do you think that's what I really wanted to be doing? Not really, but I knew that was my path to success, and I just kept going. And that's how I got to where I am now, really. It's just discipline, like, which is the topic.
Right. So you brought up something very interesting, and that being sales.
You gotta sell yourself first.
I'm gonna tell you something. My first job in DC was, I worked at a company called Meridian Imaging, and they did hardware and IT solutions. And
that's you?
I took the hardest territory in the DMV, DC, Maryland, Virginia. It was a territory was downtown DC. And when you see all over slapped on the window of a building, no solicitation, that means you cannot go over and solicit your business. But what did Jake do? He found a way, loophole. And anybody that knows anything about sales knows this number one thing. If you can get to the gatekeeper.
Decision maker.
That's it.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. So I
dropped the mic.
Yeah. So it's funny that you bring that up, because one huge thing, that there was a job right after college. I worked two jobs. One was sales, one was production. The first one was sales, and I had to cold call 50 locations a day. And I learned exactly what you just said. If I didn't get on the phone with the person saying yes or no, it was a lost cause. But I don't know if you ever cold called.
I didn't finish that. But yeah. I mean, it's, imagine being in a suit, and your guys that you live with working these jobs. One works in the Pentagon at the time. The other one worked in National Guard Bureau. And I come home in middle of July in a suit and tie, sweat dripping.
Yeah.
And on a metro, on a train with packed like sardines with no air conditioner.
Yeah.
My God, I can't make it up.
I did the same thing, but what I was trying to do was sell soup, salad, sides, and sandwiches that were non-perishable to businesses in Baltimore. And I remember driving my, I don't know if there's anybody listening, but you'll definitely appreciate this. If you understand what a 12-valve Cummins truck is, it's a single cab truck with no AC driving to Baltimore with a cooler full of salads and sandwiches to sell to these businesses.
So what were the salads and sandwiches about? Is this a business?
And honestly, I probably still have the pitch in my head.
So what is the, was that a legit sandwich salads type of job?
So what we did was, and if anybody from this business ever hears this, they're going to be like, dang, we taught him good. But it was a...
Make sure you hashtag all these. Yeah. Make sure you give all hashtag, these hashtags. You need all these hashtags.
Hashtag lifestyle foods. We did. We had salads that would actually last 14 days in a cooler, and I ate a 17-day-old romaine salad. And
were they on dry ice?
No. So they had a proprietary blend. Of what they did was they pulled all the oxygen out of the packaging and put in other inert gases that would cause... So the lettuce would last 14 days. And when I say it was just as crunchy as the first day, I'm not lying to you. And I came on, I was only there for 4 months, and I made some big moves, but they lost a huge cup. They lost their largest volume customer, and I got laid off. And even when I got laid off, they were like, you know, you did a job that we weren't really expecting you to do. We hope you just come in here and kind of be a placeholder, but you made some big moves, but unfortunately, like, we got to let you go. And that was kind of a slap in the face. Cause I mean, I worked really hard there, but again, I took it on the chin and I was like, what's next? Let's just do it. Whatever it is, you know, that's an experience. And I don't think I'm ever going to forget how uncomfortable you are when you're calling people. You know how it is when you look at your cell phone, you see this, you look down, you see this number, and you're like, oh my God, I don't want to answer this. I don't know this number. So taking rejection just 35 to 40 times a day, because you know I'd only get through to about 10% of the gatekeepers, and even then it was click.
Yeah. If you get a, I can't remember, but I remember if I got a meeting out of like 100 people, that'd be a success.
Yeah. And that doesn't feel like success to me.
I mean, that's okay. So that means that 100 calls, 10% I'll get through, but maybe one I'll actually have a face-to-face sit down.
Yeah, one.
So, I mean, what's that? What are those odds right there? One out of 100.
Not great.
And sometimes even more higher than that.
So I give all the props in the world to salesmen, and sales is a huge part of business. But I learned a ton from that cold calling, going down and sitting in meetings. And I remember my sales manager, we had a briefing every week. It was, what do you have planned for the week? How many meetings did you set? And did you meet your call quota? And to me, you got to understand, it's hard to describe, but coming from where I came from, you know, in a very lackadaisical when you work for your family, you make sure that you get done exactly what you have to get done, but it's totally different than working for a corporate in a corporate environment. So it was just it was a huge adjustment for me to have these very specific expectations laid out, and that helped me when I ended up working for my family again, setting up parameters for my salesmen and my managers, and even for my laborers, expectations. And I truly feel that if I hadn't had that experience, you know, you need that structure. You got to have that. Like, people feed off of that. And if I hadn't been through all that, I don't think I could have been as successful.
That's awesome. Yeah. I relate to everything you said, because I did it. It was there. And so
shout out to all the salesmen out there.
Shout out to all the salesmen. Hashtag. Okay, so do you think discipline can be learned, or does it come from like some other thing? Is it, are you naturally born with it?
For the longest time, I wanted to say you can't learn it.
So you're naturally born with it.
No, I think it's more, you know, they say that you, whatever you turn out to be is based off of nurture versus nature. And I used to kind of think it was more nature, which is more formally known as like your genetics, like how you're, what you're predisposed to be like. But the more I sit and think about it, especially after having a daughter now, I think that you can definitely learn it. I think it's largely influenced by who you're around every day. I think that's why the saying, you know, they talk about being, try to surround yourself by people that you want to be like, or surround, if you want to be successful, surround yourself with successful people. I think it can be learned. I think if you're, you can be, I mean, look how many people turn themselves completely around that are, you know, struggling really hard, and they get around a group of people and they're influenced by these people and end up being these huge successes. But for the longest time, I thought if you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth, per se, and you never really had to earn anything, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I thought that there was basically no hope for those people, but I've been around a lot of folks recently that, especially within our company, that they come in, they're not super motivated, don't seem like they're really ready to just get after it. Cause what we do at work, I mean, you gotta be fit. We get after it. You know, landscaping is not, yeah, it's not easy, you know? So some of these kids come in, they want to make a name for themselves, but they don't have the mental tools. And through these grueling days in the, you know, planting these big trees, digging holes in the hot summer sun, you start to mold. You start to get used to it, and you start to compare it to other things that you've done. And over time, at the end of the day, when you turn around and look back and see these, you know, 15, 500-pound root balls that you put in the ground, it makes you feel good. Yeah. Like, I did that. And I think, I wish everybody could experience that one day, you know, that type of hard labor. It feels good.
I've landscaped.
It feels good, right?
Oh, my gosh.
There's nothing like it. And
landscape is no joke.
Yeah.
I remember mulching. Oh, God. All the weed pulling. Oh, God.
Yeah. And those are the two easiest things we do.
Yeah, they're the worst. Physically.
No, I mean, a lot of bending over.
Yeah, I mean, my back jacked. No, all jokes aside, you're right on the point about looking at the work when you're fast. Because they're like, even basic thing, like, I went to the ladies' home, and the guy I used to landscape for back in Williamsport, he would say, I'll be back at the end of the day. And the whole, this would be like, you know, a 5-bedroom home with maybe, you know, a lot of beds that need to be weeded.
Yeah.
But then at the end, even though it's so basic, when I did it and we mulched it, I was like, well, I had a piece of this. It turned out all right.
But you actually increased the property value too.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. It's actually something I struggle with in management, is that at the end of the day, you turn around and look back and nothing's different. You can work a 12-hour day and it doesn't ever feel like you're done, like you completed anything. And some days I have to sit down and tell myself, hey, these 5 or 7 tasks you did complete. Now, they are only a step in the process, but I had to reshape my framework after coming out of the field as a laborer into each step is like a completed job, and you need to be able to look back at that at the end of the day and say, that was a success. Because if you don't, and you come home every day and you're just thinking, I didn't do anything today. But you can't think like that, because if you do, you're just going to get in this downward spiral of a mentality, and it's not going to work out. You got to figure out, and my wife would probably laugh at me, but you do got to figure out a way to be positive. And that's one way I figured out a way to reshape my mental framework into each task is like a job that you complete. And if I don't think about, and that's just me, everybody, you know, has their own thing. But if I don't do that, I get down on myself as if I didn't do enough. And as if some days I feel like I could never do enough. For my guys, for my men. Because at the end of the day, when you're a manager, you're doing what you're doing so that your employees can be successful.
And that ties right into the discipline.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like in the military, when I was in, you know, you look at the whole point is that people are a higher rank, and there's a reason for that. They're there to lead.
Mm-hmm.
It be it combat. It could be.
And they have to find their own reasons.
Yeah. It's such a journey with him.
Yeah, for sure. I struggled with that for a while, though. Looking back at the end of the day, thinking, what did I do today? What did I do today that made a difference? Because when you look back at a house that you've made look better, it's very easy. It's like, oh, it looks better. But when you look back at the end of the day and you think, well, all I did was like change this guy's pay rate and schedule these couple of jobs out and so on and so forth, it doesn't feel quite as rewarding. But you have to think, hey, if I didn't do that, these guys aren't working tomorrow. These guys aren't working tomorrow. That's, you know, $200, $250 that they wouldn't have had to feed their family, pay their bills, so on and so forth. And that's what motivates me at this point is the people, not the work. Does that make sense?
Thank you again for Brennan for stopping by. It was a pleasure, man. I appreciate it. Just want to tell everybody, please listen in for part 2, which will be published next Friday, December 3rd. Look forward to it. I'm telling you, I don't want to say it's better than the first part, but it's amazing. Also, please be sure to follow All Emotion Podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. You can also follow all of our content episodes at link, that's linktr.ee/ All Emotion Podcast. And also, again, you can follow us on Instagram as well. I just want to say thank you all for taking the time to listen. Once again, wishing everybody a happy and safe Thanksgiving holiday. And this is Jake Harrison from All Emotion. Take care and be safe.